Innovation Minds presents At the Edge, a podcast about using innovation to empower and drive engagement. The nature of work has changed. Companies around the world are struggling to find the right balance in the new work-from-home hybrid paradigm. As much of the workforce begins to go back to the office after more than a year working remotely, how can leaders keep their employees engaged and collaborating successfully? In this podcast, we interview thought leaders from business and hear their stories and viewpoints on how to use innovation to engage the workforce, as well as how to innovate engagement.
Every unit within an organization must understand what their specific role is. You do that within the context of the broader mission. So how is it that that mission is connected to what you are doing as a staff member, an employee, on a day-to-day basis? If managers can help staff members make those connections, the bonds and the commitment to the organization are that much stronger, the output will be better, and you'll have a more engaged team. It takes work though, Michael. It takes intention, it takes time, and working in a virtual environment, it really takes managers and those leaders connecting with their staff members.
Dr. Stephanie Royal is Chief People and Culture Officer at Robinhood. Before this, she was Executive Director of Workforce Partnerships at the City University of New York. She specializes in anti-bias work, helping organizations create inclusive cultures where differences are valued and honored.
So Stephanie, welcome to At the Edge, and thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Michael. Great to be here with you today.
And I can start by noticing something about your title. You're, you know, not just Chief People Officer, but Chief People and Culture Officer. Why is it important to have culture in your title, and how does that impact what you do?
I think it's really important for leadership to really signal that the culture of an organization matters. And, of course, the culture is made up of the people within the organization, but it's also more than that. Culture is a word that will represent core values. It will represent the guiding principles for decision making and how any organization's mission is executed. And I think it grounds the real intention around creating a safe environment for all people, being inclusive, being representative. And so that piece of the title was very important to me and to our company.
What impact has the pandemic, remote work, hybrid work, what impact has that had on culture?
At the beginning of the pandemic, it was critically important to reaffirm that the culture that we came into 2020 with still existed, that we were a place that put people first, that we were absolutely committed to our mission, that we would take care of the staff, meaning that we were not going to lay people off, that there would be a greater emphasis on our grant making because of the mission of Robinhood, because of the absolute need in New York City in fighting poverty. But we had to provide a sense of security in a period of absolute distress, confusion, and uncertainty. And so having a real support of a company culture, embracing staff members, helping them to understand that their work mattered even more now because of the pandemic, was really part of my intention in promoting culture within the organization. And then what that did was create a platform for one of the most extraordinary years in company history, in that we raised more money than ever. We had a historic revenue generating year in order to have a record grant making year because the need was so significant. We needed to be together, right? So we couldn't physically be in the office, but we made sure to meet as an entire company weekly, particularly in the first 8 weeks of the pandemic. We made sure that department heads established a regular cadence of meetings with their departments. And then the line managers, we really coached them on how to stay connected with their teams, how to not only ensure that work was continuing, but to really help to support the residual trauma that we know existed for our staff. We were able to see what was happening in the health and hospital system. We were able to see the devastation among small businesses. We knew what it meant for people who were living in New York City who were already living at the poverty line and how so quickly they fell deeper into poverty. We had all of that data there and a responsibility to respond to it. And that really, you know, that stressed the staff because the needs were so extraordinary. Our intention from leadership was to make sure that the managers had the information that they needed and the support that they needed so that they in turn could support their staff members. In addition to that, we have a really mighty human capital team that focuses on overall wellness of the staff. And so we brought in speakers to address many things related to the pandemic. Brought in medical professionals. We had a psychiatrist come in and talk about trauma. We had folks from the city that we partnered with talk about the response to COVID. We heard from other countries and brought in speakers there so that we could share the work that we were doing and then compare that to what was happening in other countries. So it was an incredible exchange of ideas, all in support of each other and our missions. We needed to preserve some time and some space for a little bit of fun, some downtime. So we created something called a High Top Thursday, which was a virtual manifestation of the high top tables that we have inside of our offices, where people would just come together, stand around the table, have a drink, have a snack, just chat about anything, whether it be your kids, your work, travel, what used to be travel, or just a casual space for folks to be together and stay connected as peers, as colleagues, and as friends.
So as we develop into hybrid and remote work being the permanent future, how would you suggest companies or other HR leaders can implement policies and practices that are going to ensure that they have an engaged culture, that they have a workforce that's actually collaborating, communicating well?
Yeah, you got to start with the workforce. I think what I have learned is that listening to the staff, getting their perspectives, listening to the concerns that they have, understanding the problems that, in whatever aspect of my identity may not affect me, but certainly will affect a good number of my staff. And, those things relate to childcare, elder care, fears of transportation, but listening to the staff, surveying them and finding out what it is that they're thinking about so that you can make a sound business decision and not have your business operations be disrupted. Not trying to make decisions in a vacuum is critically important. And so each of our senior team members have distinct responsibilities, but what we have found is that being a model for collaboration allows the rest of the staff to do that as well. It essentially gives permission and says, this is something that you should be doing. It works well. Being able to present an idea around the future of work, but then to get the buy-in, support, criticism, feedback from your peers is really important. But then vetting those ideas at each of the various levels of your organization are important as well, because there may be things that you miss. Understanding your demographics, again, is very important. We are an organization that is 75% female. We know that while, we're feminists and we have great partners at home, there is still an unfortunate burden placed on women for childcare, for work around the house, and just for managing certain things that we assume or are just left to us. So those complications and those responsibilities are things that we have to be very much aware of as an organization that actually cares about its staff and about, the overall productivity. But if we're not doing what matters up front, meaning thinking through decisions around the future of work, making sure that our staff are compensated appropriately, making sure that we are not making inequitable decisions, that whatever requirement we have to return to the office considers various factors so that equity is at the center of everything.
You have a long-standing personal experience with equity, diversity, inclusion. How has that shifted in the hybrid space?
In some respects, working in a virtual environment allows for a more egalitarian approach to work, meaning that you can have 100 people around the table, right? It doesn't have to be isolated to just, you know, people of a certain level or people with certain number of years of experience. You can actually open the box. As I always say, we want to open the box and let people in. If you, as a manager, if you are intentional about creating space for people to participate, the virtual platforms allow you to do that. So that's really something that is positive that has come out of the pandemic. But I think you also have to be very intentional and think through who actually has voice. So you could have, you know, 100 people at the table of all levels. You have your junior people, brand new staff, and then the most tenured. But who is actually speaking? Who controls the agenda? Who's got the floor? Who gets the mic passed to them? And so in that case, even though the box is open and more people can participate, you have to be very intentional about saying, here is the purpose of this meeting, and here's what we need. We need to hear from all levels of the organization on a particular topic. Or if you're the meeting host, you have to assign people into breakout rooms so that you can actually hear what they're thinking and gather those ideas. So while being virtual, again, may allow more participation and broader participation, it is more responsible if you're very intentional about specifically inviting people into the conversation so that they don't feel like they're an imposter, but that they feel like their opinions actually matter and that they are welcomed to be, to be part of a decision-making process.
Technology both helps and hinders, right, in this process. Can you talk a bit about how you found that technology has helped and maybe some of the challenges that you face with technology and even some of the solutions you think might be useful that aren't there?
Technology is our friend, so, and we can't do work without it. I really, and our company uses Zoom quite a bit. I personally use Google Meet. There's some other really fun platforms to have social gatherings that I have participated in, and through social organizations that I'm in, I've been to conferences with thousands of people, all virtual. So it can work. Part of the issue for us at the company, though, has been the training. I can't say that I can actually set that all up myself, but I do have people on my team that have been trained and are responsible for helping us to conduct any type of virtual gathering, you know, with the highest level of quality because they've actually learned the technology inside and out. There are a lot of capabilities that we have out there, but given the pace at which we work, most folks don't really take the time to figure out, like, how do I really use this? How is this really going to work? And how can the attributes of a particular piece of software be really beneficial to me? One of the things that I'm interested in right now is hybrid meetings. So how is it that I can have a meeting with a group of people in person and then a group of people who are virtual and still have an excellent experience for everyone involved? How is it that everyone can be heard? How is it that everyone can fully participate, have their ideas be shared, provide an exchange of ideas back and forth, and make it fun at the same time? You know, you want to be productive. You want people to be engaged. And I'd like them to walk away from that experience saying, wow, that was amazing. You know, I look forward to doing that again.
Now, if you had to create your own hybrid workspace, a digital or virtual workspace that could incorporate both people in your office and people all over wherever you're working, what are some of the features you would design into that?
You should see my desk right now. It's like a combination of various branded screens, the phones, ring lights. It's just crazy. I want to have like a series of screens around me and then the proper lighting. I want a screen kind of scrolling with my daily agenda, thoughts, ideas, notes, things that I have to say to people, but then be able to just pivot like easily. So what we've had to do is just have some meetings where it's video off. And, you know, and I'll say, my feet are up right now. I just need you to know, like, you know, I'm the head of the department, but I need to just like stretch out a bit. So being able to lead in a way that shows that you are human as well, and that you do get tired, and that you are suffering fatigue, and that you recognize the impact of this on others, because you're demonstrating your humanity, and that you actually give a hoot about who you're working with every day. We have such a great time together that it's okay to just, you know, to be on video because we're laughing, or, you know, because, you know, I've got a joke or something, or something crazy happened, and, you know, and we've got to share that story.
If you were to, Stephanie, take that physical part you're talking about and then imagine, like, on the screens, you could have one place, one virtual space on the screens. What are some of the features you would design into that?
There's some real opportunity for the development of performance management systems, which will include, first of all, the onboarding of new staff, their training and really building out professional development, and then the monitoring of performance, that performance management. Having those touch points formalized and built into a software tool, I think there's an opportunity for training, how to be a manager in a virtual environment or a hybrid environment, how to lead in a hybrid environment. Change management is critically important. There's some opportunities there, and just I think some areas that have naturally been neglected because we have had to so quickly move to a virtual work environment. Having the FaceTime is really important, but if you don't have the ability to be side by side with someone physically, then we've got to figure out how do you do that virtually and not have it be so bizarre, not have it be so awkward.
So what I'm hearing is that you have a very personalized approach to working with your people. It's not a system per se. It's not like a structured environment, but really something which is about really engaging with each other on a daily basis.
Yes, and it is structured. I mean, you know, there's real discipline and accountability embedded into the structure, but the way it is delivered is with heart and with humanity. And we're a smaller organization, right? We're 117 staff. So it is not impossible to, you know, to fulfill one of these core values, which is that, you know, we're data driven and heart led. So we rely on data. We rely on numbers to help fulfill our mission of, you know, of accessing economic mobility for folks who are living in poverty. That being said, you can still lead, you can still collaborate, and do so in a way that is respectful, do so in a way that acknowledges the contributions of your staff, but do it in a way that shows some heart. Because what we are doing, we are trying to fight poverty. We're trying to create solutions to poverty through our grant making and through our policy work. And it's heavy stuff. And so if we don't conduct ourselves in a way that is respectful, that shows humanity, that is driven by a real commitment to the staff itself, then we would not ever have been as successful as we have been. Collaboration is something that is always top of mind for me. And so I am thinking about how do we create hybrid formal systems for collaboration to encourage collaboration. And then what are some of the informal structures that we have to make sure are in place so that collaboration can actually work and be successful?
Well, and when you say that, do you have any thoughts about answers to those questions? You know, how do we make collaboration more successful? How do we make communication more successful?
My answer to that question changes day to day with the COVID case count. Honestly, Michael, I mean, we have been talking about having a return to office that was just suspended, but I'm just going to like remove COVID and just think about a healthy and safe work environment that I believe will be hybrid forever. even when COVID will go away, let's just be positive and think, okay, we'll be able to deal with this in a year or so. But I don't think we're going back to the same old, you know, go sit in an office for 5 days, 8 to 4, 8 to 6, whatever, and sit there and work in isolation. I think that companies should be, and I know certainly we are going to be more intentional around the time that we are physically together and making sure those are times where we reinforce social bonds, that we reinforce the inner workings of teams, and being able to collaborate not just within individual teams, but cross-departmental collaboration where that matters, or engaging with our community partners, person to person, making sure that we can have really productive in-person events for our donors. So I think the emphasis and like what the future of work looks like, yeah, we'll get back to a hybrid model where there is some in-person, physically in an office work. But the way I'm thinking about it is that it must be purposeful with staff engagement in mind and collaboration in mind. When you go into an office, you lose time traveling. There's an added expense because, you know, you got to throw in the dry cleaning expense and whatever else, eating out, lunches, coffees, that sort of thing. But if you go to an office and you're not more productive there, I'm not sure what the point is if you're not focused on building bonds, reinforcing culture, and creating these systems for collaboration.
Obviously, one of the critical factors around engagement is that the employee is actually connected, aligned with the purposes or the missions of the organization. In a mission-driven organization, I've certainly found talking to leaders in those organizations that that is a even more important factor. How can you suggest to companies that aren't a mission-driven organization to actually use some of the techniques that are more natural to something like Robinhood?
Yeah, I'm wondering how you're a successful organization and you're not aligned around a mission. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, having a very clear articulation of what that mission is and then repeating it and making sure it is seen and heard and affirmed time and again is really important. And that goes back to your first question of how do you build culture? You build culture based on who you are as an organization and what your mission is. That mission could be, you know, to deliver high quality education if you're a school. If you're a bank, you want to provide excellent service to your clients, you know, and be highly profitable at the end of the day. So I think, you know, for-profit organizations can do this as well, but you all have to be, you know, you've got to be rowing in the same direction to where whatever that North Star is. You have to be focused on how do we all get there together. And it does take a team. It takes collaboration. And so to have the, you know, that mission-driven approach, I think, can be applied across industries. And the data bears that out. All the studies around collaboration, studies around leadership will demonstrate that having a very clear vision is critically important for the success of an organization.
The other statistic, data-driven information that we all know is that two-thirds of employees on average are not engaged in the company. That's been going on for over a decade at least. Why do you suppose that is? I mean, if it's such a simple solution to just communicate your vision, your mission and find people that are aligned with it, why are so many people so disinterested?
I may make it sound like it's simple, but it's not. It's very complicated and it requires repetition. It requires multiple layers and approaches, again, with the higher goal of making sure that everyone on within your organization understands why they are working. What is their specific role as you think about executing the mission? So I'll give you an example. Our mission focuses on economic mobility for households in New York City experiencing poverty. Everyone in the organization can articulate that mission. They can say it, they can write it, they can share it with someone that calls on the phone, or if they get a question on the street, or if someone sees a, you know, a Robinhood logo, they'll ask, like, what's that all about? We make sure that everyone can talk about it, whether they work at the front desk, or whether they're, you know, working with donor engagement, or whether they're a program officer. So everyone has to be able to articulate the mission. The second part of articulation after that is, what's your role in that? So if you work on the tech team, then you understand that your obligation to the company is to make sure that every staff member has what they need to do their jobs, that the network is always supported, that we have the best tools to have hybrid meetings, that folks are trained on the various softwares that we use, et cetera. That's your role in helping us to deliver economic mobility to the city. If you work on the development team, your job is to help build revenue. So you've got to make sure that your interactions with donors are always on point, that you're able to talk about the work of the programmatic team, that you're able to discuss some of the work of the policy team, you know, and just be able to kind of sell what we're doing here. Every unit within an organization must understand what their specific role is. You do that within the context of the broader mission. So how is it that that mission is connected to what you are doing as a staff member, an employee, on a day-to-day basis? If managers can help staff members make those connections, the bonds and the commitment to the organization are that much stronger, the output will be better, and you'll have a more engaged team. It takes work, though, Michael. It takes intention. It takes time. And working in a virtual environment, it really takes, managers and those leaders connecting with their staff members.
How can the employee actually take responsibility for some of that?
A lot of that starts, at the very beginning. So, you know, what are the responsibilities of that staff member? What's written in the job description? And then what are the goals that that individual can set year over year to contribute to the overall organization? I tend to have a very goals-based orientation, particularly as we think about performance management. So encouraging or even embedding formally a goal-setting process for the staff member at the very beginning of the year is a way to engage their participation in fulfilling the mission, but it also engages them in what they can do. What's their part of this? And set some metrics around that so that they have something to strive toward. So one of the ways we can really focus on the individual staff members' contributions is to have those staff members, have your entire team, think about what their individual goals are, right? So you reiterate what the mission is, think about and articulate annual goals for your organization, whether they be, you know, 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, but make sure that the staff understands what those goals are. The challenge then becomes, what are the unit goals? What about departments? What about subsets of those departments? And then that then goes to the individual level. This is where you can engage your employee to be a part of the solution, to be a part of this mission by defining what individual goals will be and then setting up some metrics so that they can measure what their success will ultimately be. An employee can evaluate their own performance without a manager having to do it so that they understand what their part in this organization is, how their contributions are going to matter, and then to inspire them to be great, to make sure that your morale is a positive one overall, and that people just understand, like, what are you supposed to be doing every day? Particularly when they can't see it happening, right? When they're not in an office side by side with colleagues or working with their managers, it becomes isolating.
Stephanie, if you wanted to leave the listeners with one message, just one clear, simple message that they remember you for, what would that be?
Remember your mission. Define your core values as an institution and let those core values be your guide in all of your decision making and the way that you execute on any plan within your organization.
Thank you, Stephanie. This has been an interesting chat, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Michael. It was a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate being able to share some of our ideas and experiences. And you got me thinking about some decisions that I have to make in the very near future.
Oh, gosh, that's a tantalizing way to end this.
Well, you have to have me come back, and I'll share a little bit more then.
This has been At the Edge, a podcast from Innovation Minds. We look forward to hosting you on our next episode, which you can find through the same channel you got here with today. Please join our LinkedIn group where you can discuss every episode. You can find the link in the show notes. We're really glad you were here, and thank you very much from Innovation Minds.